make this your message. And Lord, that we would listen with our hearts, and that your Spirit would move in the lives of each one of us through this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week is our picnic, and we do a baptism also, and so I thought it would be only fitting to share about baptism. And you know, as I have talked with different people, there's a lot of questions that come up. I've done dedications of children, and usually what I'm asked is, do you do child baptisms or infant baptisms? And I have to share that I don't do child and infant baptisms, and the reasons why. And so that's one of the questions that comes up. And since we're going to do baptisms next week at the lake, I get questioned about, you know, well, hey, I was baptized as an infant or a young child. Do I need to be baptized again? Some questions are, I was sprinkled. Is that good enough? Another question I get sometimes is, I was baptized to become a member in a church. So is that good enough? Other questions, I never was baptized, but will I go to heaven? You know, those are the kind of questions that we get and that I get, and I have to answer those questions. Another question that's pretty solid is, you know, what in the world is the purpose of baptism? Why do you even need to get baptized? If you're not saved by baptism, what's the purpose then? So, believe it or not, all the answers to those questions are going to be taken care of in just this short amount of time. We've got less than a half an hour. Look at that. You know, I find that there a lot of the answers come rapidly. Sometimes more than one gets answered by some of the scriptures that we're going to share, that I'm going to bring up to you. The first thing is, you know, what is baptism? You know, according to the word baptism in the Greek, it means to cover or immerse. I don't know if you ever watched that Greek wedding movie, you know, where the guy's always saying, you know, and this is where it comes from, and this is where, that's the Greek. Well, this is a Greek. And baptism, it's a word that comes from the Greek, and it's immerse or cover. They use the same word when a ship would sink in the ocean. So that pretty much talked about immersion. I don't think a ship sinks by being sprinkled or, you know, anything like that. So Romans 6 actually illustrates that. And I want you to go to Romans 6, 17:14 in your pew Bible, 17:14, Romans chapter 6. And starting in verse 1, Romans 6, 17:14, the pew Bibles, Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 1, says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So here, you know, of course, the question came up that, you know, a person became a Christian and they follow Christ now, and they are, you know, all in for Jesus. And they started thinking, okay, my sins are forgiven, past, present, future, so let's sin some more. So even more is covered, right? No. That's the wrong attitude. And that's what Paul points out. He says, well, shall we go on sinning that grace increases? You know, I get all the more grace, all the more forgiveness? No. No. Because we died to sin. We can't live in it any longer if we died to sin. And he says, don't you know all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And the illustration is this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so baptism is that illustration. When you're dunked into the water, we don't dunk you face forward. We don't dunk you like this. We dunk you backwards. Why? Well, it's an illustration of death, dying, being buried, and then rising again to a new life. Now, you know, Paul, he's using this illustration, and it's immersion. You know, you don't get the same sense of being buried by sprinkling. And so it's also this identification with Christ. We identify with him in his death and with him in his resurrection. We're identified with Christ. And so the name came, Christians. We're followers of Christ. We are his disciples. Now, baptism was not an unusual thing. Throughout history, people were baptized, not for just Christians. Pagans, Jews, and others would baptize people. And the reason they did, it was to identify that individual with the group that they were being baptized into. One philosopher, the story is told about how he went to baptize one of his followers. And as he dunked the follower underwater, he held him. I promise I won't do that. But he held his follower under the water, and the follower began to struggle. And, you know, now he's losing breath. He's thinking, what's this guy trying to do? Drown me? You know, I want to follow him. I don't want to die. And he struggled and fought and finally got free and out of the water and gained his breath. What are you doing? And the philosopher said, that's how I want you to follow me. I want you to fight for knowledge, for truth, and for justice. I want you to fight as one of my followers. And that's exactly the same context we have in Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, you know, you took your life into your hands back in those days. You know, if people found out, and baptism was very public. Remember John the Baptist? He was out there in the river, and anybody could go. And people were all over the place watching. Remember the Pharisees were out there too, and were, you know, kind of digging on what he was doing. You know, not in a good way. You know, back in our day, you know, our age, I mean, digging was kind of good, you know, but not. They were criticizing him, and they were after him all the time. But baptism was a very public thing. And it was stepping across the line. It was saying, I believe. Because normally, a person believed in Jesus, you know, they just kept it quiet. In fact, there's stories about how the Christians they call it the way. And one would go and draw a line in the sand with someone else. And if that person completed the ichthus, the fish symbol that you see on the back of the cars and things, you know, that fish symbol, then they knew they were of the way. And then they would talk freely with that person. They met in secret in homes and different places, because what would happen if somebody found out you were a Christian, you may lose your business. You know, you didn't have, you know, any kind of organization to fight against that. You didn't have equal right things or anything like that. And that's happening today now, too, by the way. But you could lose your business. You could lose your life. Remember what Paul did early on? Paul, they dragged Stephen out and stoned him to death. It's said that Paul held the cloaks of the guys that did the stoning. He encouraged it. He said, yeah, throw that big stone right there. That's how it was. You could lose your life for the cause of Christ. And so being baptized was a commitment, let me tell you. It wasn't, you know, well, we'll have coffee someday. Visit. No, this was I'm all in. And so baptism, does it save you? You know, no, it doesn't save you. And the best illustration is Luke chapter 23, 1609 in your few Bibles. Luke chapter 23. Jesus is hanging on the cross between two thieves, two criminals, they call them, actually. Not sure exactly what they were in prison for, but certainly worthy of death. And he was hanging between these two criminals, and one railed insults at him, and the other one, told him, lay off. Verse 39 of chapter 23, it says, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Christ, Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Kind of bad, because that criminal wasn't baptized. He couldn't get baptized. He was hanging on a cross. But he was saved, because Jesus said, "Today you'll be in paradise with me." So here was an individual who believed in Jesus, gave his heart to him, basically, and said, "Please, remember me in your kingdom." He understood who Jesus was, and Jesus told him, "You're going to be there with me in paradise." You know, there's other examples. I want to go to Acts. These examples are the place that baptism has. Acts chapter 10, 1674, in the Pew Bibles, 1674. Now, I don't want anyone to be confused about this, because it has reference to speaking in tongues. So we'll explain that for you. But verse 44 through 48, you know, now a little bit of a background. Peter, in a dream, was told by God to go to a man named Cornelius. And he was going to preach to him the gospel. Now, Cornelius was a Greek or Gentile. He was not of the Jewish faith. And only the circumcised were given salvation. They were supposed to be the ones, the chosen ones, and etc., etc. And so, you know, it was a foreign thing for the Jews to say, "Oh, we're going to preach to Gentiles? Are you kidding me?" You know, God certainly isn't going to choose Gentiles over the Jews. And so Peter, he was given this dream: go to the Gentiles and preach the message of the gospel. And so Peter's like, "Well, okay, you know, whatever good it's going to do, I don't know." And so Peter goes, because he's obedient to the Lord. So in verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking, preaching to the people, still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." How do you tell somebody, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus"? You know, especially the Gentiles. You go up to the Jewish individual and you say, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a believer." And they'll go, "Yeah, right. Show me. What proof do you have?" "Well, you know, I really believe him. He's in my heart." "Yeah, okay." So in this particular situation, tongues were given to these individuals so that the Jewish believers, the circumcised believers, would look and say, "Oh, they got it. They're saved. The Holy Spirit's come upon them." And then later in that verse, Peter said, "Can anyone," in verse 47, it says, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And they asked Peter to stay. So they were baptized now after believing. Belief comes first, then baptism. You know, tongues were the sign for the Jews that definitely the Holy Spirit is coming to the Gentiles, and they should preach to the Gentiles. And remember, Paul, when he took on his ministry, it was a ministry to the Gentiles. And he went all over preaching to Gentiles. Now, some Jews also came to Christ, but his main mission was to Gentiles. Now, baptizing an infant or a child, how would they know that they profess Christ? How would they be able to do that? They can't. You know, baptism is a sign of what's happened inside. The purpose of baptism is that outward sign. It's not going to make you different by it alone. You're different because of what happened in your heart. When you step across that line and get baptized, it changes you because you finally made that 100% commitment. I'm all in. I'm not going to let anything stop me from serving the Lord. Can you be baptized without the right attitude? Yeah, you can. I know a lot of people that have. A lot of people that I've done baptism services for, and they're out there living like the world. So baptism is not going to change you by dunking you in that water. You will change you. And that's what baptism is for. Because you're inside, you're saying, I've got to do this. I've got to put my total commitment. I've got to show everybody that I believe in Jesus as my Savior. You can tell us all you want. But when you step into that water, it's an all-in thing. And you know, there's nothing better than that statement of commitment. And so, one other scripture I want us to go to, Acts chapter 16. One other scripture. And here, Paul and Silas have been in prison. They were put in prison and for inciting riots because of their preaching. And so, you know, during that time, being in prison, an earthquake came and all the doors went open and the jailer was about ready to kill himself. And in verse 30, the jailer says, he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. They believed. And they put themselves into that water, proclaiming it to anyone who was there. We're saved. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in all the things that Jesus did and wants us to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Be baptized to show your commitment. That's what you're doing. And so, next Sunday, when we do that, and if there's somebody here that you know, you want to be baptized, maybe you were baptized as a young child. Maybe you didn't know what you were doing. Last night I had a guy, we do the sermon on Saturday nights as well, and I had a guy come up to me and said, "You know, Bill, I was baptized as a child." I said, "Okay. I was baptized when I was a teenager." He says, no, I was like 5 or 6 years old. I said, "Well, did you understand?" He said, "No, I really didn't." I said, "Well, maybe you need to be baptized." He said, "You know, maybe I will." And I looked at it, he had a grandchild with him, and I said, "You know, what kind of a witness that will be to your children, to the people who see you get baptized. What a witness to them. Because when you step in that water and your kids see you do that, when your friends see you do that, when your family sees you do that, I'll tell you what, That makes a statement.
I was so proud of Ray when he came up here and shared his testimony. Man, I was on the verge of tears the whole time because it was such a great testimony to share. But you know what? That testimony is even more of an impact when you step in that water and you say, I'm all in to Jesus Christ, and He's my Savior, and I'm doing this for Him. That makes a statement. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't, or if you're just on the fence about it, you know what? Embarrassment is not the excuse. Feeling that everybody's going to be watching you, that's not the excuse. Because that's what baptism is. And if you trust Jesus as your Savior and you want to show everyone that you're committed to Him, then this is what you need to do. If you haven't done it yet, you need to do it. Because it will turn the corner for you. So, I want us to just have a word of prayer before we go to the last song. And give you an opportunity to do that as well. So let's bow in prayer. Father, we just come before You and ask You, Lord, that Your Spirit would nudge those of us that maybe we haven't been baptized yet. Maybe we resisted because it's like, well, hey, I'm 50 years old. I'm 40 years old. I'm 70 years old. I'm too old to be baptized now. No, you're not. Lord, I want to encourage and challenge those, even who are adults, even who have trusted Christ for a long time, but maybe never been baptized, that it's not an embarrassment. It's an exaltation. It's showing everyone that, yeah, I just haven't made this step yet. I haven't done this yet. Lord, nudge those here today. And Lord, for us, those of us that have been Christians and believers for a long time, may we encourage those around us. If we find out they haven't been baptized yet, Lord, that we would encourage and nudge them. And then, Lord, for those that haven't believed in You as Savior, Lord, they're tired of struggling, tired of going through life without You, I pray that they ask You into their lives now, just praying, Jesus, I need You in my life. I've done enough damage to my life, and I want to stop. I need You to straighten me out. I need You to take those sins away from me, to make me a new creature. And Lord, I pray that there would be a baptism of new faith. It would just be so amazing. Lord, we commit this time in Your hands. We ask now that You would bless this song as we sing it to You. And Lord, that You would build in us Your character, Your strength, Your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This last song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And that's what salvation does. Let's all stand. We'll sing this song together.